Let's open up with a word of prayer this morning so we can allow the Lord to lead and guide us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful morning, and we just thank you for the many Bible stories of old, Lord. We just thank you for Jonah and so many lessons that we can learn from him. And I just pray that you'll lead and guide us this morning, that you'll open up our hearts and our minds, and just we'll see the story differently. That we'll see the story, Lord. And we just pray that you'll convict and encourage each and every one of us this morning, Lord. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen. Yeah, we're going through the book of Jonah. And I enjoy expository preaching, so just different times I like to take different things. But you can learn so much from some of the older Bible stories as well. So we're just going through the book of Jonah. Started last week, so you haven't missed much if you're here this morning. But this morning I'm going to ask, what is God willing to do to bring us back to himself? You know, maybe there's a time in your life, doesn't mean you lost your salvation, doesn't mean that, but maybe you ran away for a while. Maybe you quit coming to church, maybe you're not in the Word, maybe you haven't been praying. Whatever that is, what does God do to bring us back to him, to create that relationship? You know, and I believe God puts things in our lives, and we'll see it this morning in the book of Jonah. But we can see it for ourselves. We can see it in our own lives. I think God has many ways to get our attention. We see five actions, I believe, this morning in the book of Jonah to maybe awaken us. Awaken us from a spiritual sleep. Awaken us from missing out on what God has called us to do. And I think one time in the book of Jonah, every time Jonah makes a move, God makes a move. He counters it. Every time Jonah makes the wrong move, God tries to correct it. And I think there's times that God can chastise us. He can chasten us. He can come after us and say, hey, wake up. You're missing out. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. He says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I don't like the water. I don't go very much out on the water. I don't swim very much. My wife will tell you that. I'm not a big fan of being on a boat that is like to be broken. I mean, this boat, I'm the captain's scared, the people are scared, and this boat is just being hurled all around. Some of the other versions of the Bible say the Lord hurled a violent wind. And the Hebrew term translated hurled or flung is the same word used when King Saul cast the javelin at young David. The word carries the notion of a violent force. And just picture that in your head. I mean, this boat, it's nice and peaceful, it's calm, and then all of a sudden he just brings up this wind and starts throwing this. I think many times God uses the storms of adversity to teach us or to correct us. You know, this storm here illustrated the spiritual struggle of Jonah's heart. While the rebellious prophet knew what was right, a fierce battle raged inside him. Sometimes God has to shake us. He has to awaken us. You know, physically, figuratively, this storm was sent for Jonah. And I think there's many times throughout the Word of God that he uses this method of correction. We were talking about a little bit about the Israelites this morning in Sunday school and them going to the promised land. They were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they disobeyed. I don't believe God's out there to punish us. I don't believe he's waiting for you to mess up and say, okay, I'm going to get him. But I do believe there's consequences. There's consequences for our actions. There's consequences for our lives. And the older I get, the more I can realize it's a ripple effect. I believe it can affect each and every one of us. So while storms come into our lives for several reasons, we should always ask, what are you trying to tell me through this trial? God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to tell me? What can I learn from this? What do you want me to see in this? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Although Jonah had sinned, the sailors were afraid. Dr. A.C. Dixon wrote, "Our sins will certainly get others in trouble." When the storm came, Jonah was about to drown, but remember, no one drowns alone. And I like to look at that ripple effect. Whether you lead somebody to the Lord, lead them to a salvation, understanding the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, how far can that ripple effect go? Down from generation to generation? Just think of the person that led Billy Graham to the Lord and how many people that affected. But at the same time, sin can bring us all down. Sin can affect your spouse, your kids, other lives, whatever it is, and sin will surely find you out. When the storm came, Jonah was about to drown. Again, no one drowns alone. The storms that touched his life touched the lives of all those around him. You can even think of the story of King David. King David's sin, he remained in an unrepentant state for nearly a year. And if you remember the story, it was about 8 months later that the prophet Nathan confronted David. And Nathan told David that the child born of the king's adultery would die. Again, the child went to heaven, but God touched the child to get David's attention. There's many times that we're going to see things that we don't understand why things happen. And like I said, I don't believe in punishment. I don't believe God's up there looking for punishment. But I do believe there's consequences in what we do with our life. What is God willing to do to bring us back to Him? And I believe the answer is whatever it takes. And many of us are stubborn. Many of us keep going down that path. And we see time and time again the Lord say, "Come back, come back." And we just keep running down that other path. You know, God knows which nerve to touch. He knows how to get to your attention. So I think the first point here is He touches someone near you. Whatever we're doing with our life, whatever our actions are, each and every day, whatever decision you make, remember there's a ripple effect. If you look at verse 6, Jonah chapter 1 says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.'" I believe the Lord sends someone to you. If you're in the middle of a storm, pay attention. As the storm raged, the captain approached Jonah. The mariner or the captain, he did not follow the Lord. He had nothing to do with him. In the prior verses, it talks about them praying to their God and trying to stop the storm, but they couldn't. Yet God used this unbeliever to correct Jonah. Dr. James Draper quoted his grandfather preaching as saying, "God can hit some straight shots with a crooked stick." The person God uses is not the issue. God can speak through us, through a loved one, through a stranger, through a Christian, through a lost person, through an unbeliever, a child, an adult. I've learned a lot of valuable lessons from my kids if you just listen. They will teach you. They will educate you. They will say, "You're not being fair. You're not being just. You're not being merciful. You're not being gracious." They don't use those words, but when you listen to them, you can feel it. You can see it. God used young Samuel to speak to Eli. He used the witch of Endor to speak to Saul. He used a little girl to speak to Peter at the fire. He used the Apostle Paul to speak to Philemon. What matters is your response when God speaks to your heart. And each and every one of us are at a different phase in our life in this storm. You know, some are in the storm, some are just getting out of a storm. And you can see this in two different ways. You can say, "Okay, where am I at in this situation? Am I at the end of my storm and maybe going into another one?" But when you begin to understand and listen for the voice of God, you can see how to respond. When that person comes up to us and talks to us, we can see it's God's messenger. I think many times maybe we respond with anger. You know, somebody comes to us and teaches us a life lesson and says, "Oh, I don't want to hear it. Just shut up. Leave me alone." You know, maybe your spouse is telling you something. But when we listen for the voice of God, we can change that anger to humility. We can say, "Hey, this is a lesson that I need to be taught. This is something that I need to be listening for." So depending on where you're at in the storm, just listen. Look at verse 7 and 8, and he says, "And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, 'Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?'" I believe God will expose your disobedience. I can remember as a kid, and I didn't think about this till I just said this. I had a friend buy me a Butterfinger. I don't know why I was so scared, but I hid the Butterfinger from my parents. They knew as soon as I got home something was wrong with me. Your disobedience will be exposed. You know, if I would have just came home and said, "Hey, Billy bought me this Butterfinger," they would have been like, "That's fine. You can have it after dinner." But for some reason, I hid it from them and I was scared and this and that. Your sins will find you out. Your disobedience will find you out. Not because the Lord is up there ready to punish you, but maybe it's consequences. Maybe it's reaction. Maybe you're trying to hide something from a spouse. Maybe you're doing this, you're doing that. Whatever it is, it's going to happen. You know, out of superstition here, the crew cast lots to discover the guilty party. And the lot singled out Jonah. The unbelieving sailors discerned that the storm represented God's hand against someone on the board that vessel. They knew somebody was messed up. They knew somebody wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. And I don't know if Jonah thought he could just, again, hide. You know, I think Jonah wanted to play dumb and say, "Oh, this is not my problem. This storm has nothing to do with me." And I believe we do that a lot. You know, we know these consequences that we've created, this life we chose. And some consequences last a lifetime. Again, make wise decisions. Make good choices. But I think like Jonah, many times we're like, "Well, that's not me. That's not my fault. I have nothing to do with that." There's many times throughout the Word of God, we all know God used Pharaoh to expose Abraham's lie about his wife. Abraham said, "Hey, go. Don't tell you you're my wife. Tell him you're my sister." And when you begin with one lie, it just keeps snowballing into another one and another one, and then you've got a big mess. You know, we know all Jacob and Esau. God used an angry brother to expose Jacob's deception of his father. God used Mordecai to expose Haman's plot to have all the Jews exterminated. There's many stories throughout the Word of God that we can see the lies and the mistakes. And I believe it still occurs today that your sins will find you out. Your disobedience will find you out. And a little bit this morning as well in Sunday school, we were talking about the rewards that we will receive in heaven. And you're going to receive rewards for what you do on this earth for Him. For things that last for eternity, you will receive certain rewards. But I believe you'll miss out on a lot of opportunities for things that you didn't do. You know, maybe we don't call it a sin, but missed opportunities. Missed opportunities to share the gospel. Missed opportunities to show someone the love of Christ. There'll be many times that we miss out on opportunities because of disobedience. Thomas Martin is the former manager of a Jack in the Box restaurant in California. During 1996, he reported a robbery in which the crook took $307 as the store was closing. When questioned about the suspect, Martin provided police sketch artist Jack Lee with a detailed description of the robber. After Lee completed his sketch, he observed how the drawing looked just like Martin. When investigators noted the similarity, Martin confessed to the crime. World's dumbest criminals, I guess. Your disobedience will find you out. It's very hard for you to describe someone that you never even saw, so he ended up describing himself. Disobedience will find you out. Jump down to verse 15 in Jonah here. And he says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Once they learned of Jonah's guilt, they picked Jonah and threw him into the sea. I think he touches us physically. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, but there will be something that happens. You know, it means that God's hand of protection can become his hand of correction. There's many times that God's hand is there to protect us. But it's very easy for him to remove that hand of protection. You can think back to the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness. When they turned on Moses and complained about God, the Lord sent snakes into the camp and many died. But you think about it, that whole time there's millions of people wandering through that snake-infested land. The whole time they're wandering through the wilderness, there's no problems with snakes. And I promise you, there were snakes everywhere. God's hand had protected them. But then once he removed that hand of protection, to have a correction. You know, why would God do these things? And I always go back to the love of Christ. I think God loves us too much to allow us to continue on a path of immortality, of loss. I'm not telling you that every illness, every sickness, every accident is a direct intervention of God for disobedience. The Bible reveals several possible reasons, but we must acknowledge that disobedience could be one of them. We have a very short time here on earth. And there's only one thing that matters, and it's what we do for him. It's what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's desire is to awaken our spirit. Why would God use drastic intervention to get our attention? Is God mad at us? Does he desire to punish us? No. His correction is another expression of his love, grace, and goodness. He wants you back. He hates the damage that sin brings to your life. So he works to awaken us spiritually. You know, until I had kids, I didn't quite fully understand it. But once you have kids, it changes everything. I don't tell my kids no because I'm a mean parent. They will tell you that. They think that. Dad, you're just being mean. No, I'm here to protect you. And if you will allow me to protect you, I will protect you. But there's times in life that I say, okay, go ahead. You're going to have to make that stupid decision yourself. You know, and once they do it, a lot of times they won't do it again. If I allow them to touch that hot stove, I've never done this. I'm not a terrible parent. But if I allow them to touch the hot stove one time, they're going to be very careful of getting near it, even when it's off. But I've told them 100 times, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. And this is what God is trying to do for each and every one of us. He's trying to protect us. But then we make a stupid decision. He's trying to protect us. Then we go make another stupid decision. Finally, he says, fine, I'm going to release my hand of protection. You're going to learn and hopefully come back. God desires to awaken our spirit. Look at verse 9 and 10. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, What hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. God's desire is for us to acknowledge his presence. Jonah ran from the presence of God, but God wanted him back. God desires for us to acknowledge our sin. You know, I think Jonah offered a public confession. As his boat is rocking and shaking and the cast fell upon him, there was nothing, the lots fell on him. There's nothing more he can do than say, hey, it's me. I ran from God. I ran from the presence of the Lord. I didn't want to deal with the people of Nineveh. I don't think God knows what he's doing. But he confessed. And the longer we carry something around, the longer we try to hide our sin, it will eat us alive. Unconfessed sin is a weight which no wing can lift. It is a darkness that no light can banish. It is a disease that no medicine can cure. Honest confession is the remedy. You know, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. All he had to do was be obedient. You can see in verse 2, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Again, Jonah could have had a ripple effect. When God said, do this, he could have changed the lives of many. Not just one or two, but the whole city of Nineveh. And he continues even in chapter 3, verse 1, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh. He's telling him to go. Obedience can correct a lot of things. God requires, I believe, a genuine repentance. Again, it's not a repentance for salvation. It's not a repentance that we have to, you know, we always have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary, you have eternal salvation. But if you want a relationship with him, you have to ask for forgiveness. You have to ask for repentance. You have to say, Lord, this is what I've done. My kids will always be my kids, even if they leave and never come back to me. But the minute they come back, it makes things easier if they say, hey, I'm sorry. I messed up. This is what I did. We can build that relationship and that trust again. And if you don't build that relationship and trust with the Lord, you're at odds. Doesn't mean you don't have salvation. Doesn't mean you can't go to heaven. It just means it's harder. I like the way Max Lucado put it. He said, if there's 1,000 steps between you and God, God will take 999 of them and leave the last one for you. We have to take a step. God wants us back. You must take a step towards him. We have to say, yes, Lord, I want this. I can hear it. You're calling me. Harley Sheffield gained celebrity status through an unusual mishap. He was part of the 15,000-mile relay that carried the Olympic torch to the 100th gathering of the Games in Atlanta. His section of the relay went over the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in Washington on May 7, 1996. While carrying the flame in a special stand on his bicycle, the rear tire blew out, Sheffield lost control of his bike, and the Olympic flame went out. People gasped in disbelief. But the attenders of the torch knew exactly what to do. They simply reached into the van that accompanied the traveling torch, pulled out a new torch, lighted it from the mother flame, which always stays in the van. The procession continued, and Sheffield earned a spot on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I believe each and every one of us, the minute we get saved, we have a flame. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us a flame. He gives us a burning desire. There's many times that flame will go out. There's many times that we'll miss out on opportunities. But like I said, depending on where you're at in your life, depending on where you're at in the storm, I pray that you have a zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to him and say, yes, Lord, I'm back. I want that relationship. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to change. I need you. You know, I believe this was meant to happen. The Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He knew what he would do. He knew he would run. He didn't say, oh man, it's all messed up. Now I don't know what to do. He knew the mistakes he would make, but through the sovereignty of God, he had a plan. And you can see in verse 16, it says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Through our mistakes, through our disobedience, he will lead others to a saving knowledge of his son. I'm not telling you to be disobedient for that reason, but God can reach us. God can call us. God can touch us no matter where we're at. But listen and find out where you're at, whether you're in the middle of a storm, whether you're at the end of a storm. Is he using somebody to speak to you? Is he using somebody to touch you? Is he using somebody to change you? Listen to the voice of God. And I just pray that each and every one of us will fear the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the life of Jonah. We just thank you for what we see. I'm excited to continue on with the story and see how it all ends. Even though he didn't want to go to Nineveh, he didn't think the people deserved salvation. But through his disobedience, you used him to save those people on that ship. Through that disobedience, you gave him a life lesson. You brought him back to you. I just pray that you'll touch each and every one of our lives, whether we're in the middle of a storm, whether we're at the end of a storm, wherever we're at in life, Lord, we just pray that you'll reach out and say, hey, I'm talking to you. We just thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.